It's fair to say, over the past few years, we've had several opportunities in the UK to cast our votes in various different elections. Now, it is a legal right to be able to cast your votes independently and in secrecy, and there are support measures in place to help people who are blind or partially sighted do this. Could they be better? Are there still problems with people being able to cast their vote? Well, we have with us to talk a little bit more on the subject, Chris Skidmore, MP, who is the Minister for Constitution. Chris, thank you very much for joining us today.
No, delighted to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
We've had a few opportunities to vote at the moment, and there has been a reception at Parliament, which various charities have attended, looking at the system we use to vote. Is it fair to say that they, along with some people with sensory impairments or disabilities, are still having problems doing this?
I think when you look at some of the experiences of blind and partially sighted people, as well as those of people who've got learning disabilities or other physical disabilities, the evidence from reports that have been published both by the RNIB or by MenCap have revealed that despite legislation having been passed previously to ensure that everyone, regardless of whatever condition they might have, that legislation that's meant to be there to improve accessibility isn't necessarily being implemented correctly, and there are still barriers that are stopping people from being able to vote in person, as you say, independently and secretly.
As a blind person myself, I voted in many elections now, referendum, etc. And I think it's fair to say my experience hasn't been the best, but it hasn't been the worst either. You know, there are things in place, for instance, the tactile device, which can be placed over the ballot paper for me to place my mark, if you like. And you know, the staff at the polling stations are there to help read through these. But on the occasions, you know, that it hasn't been placed correctly, and it's pretty much only because I knew the way it should be done that I was able to cast my vote. So perhaps some issues around training there, but is there a difficulty in looking or having legislation to change the way we currently use the sort of pencil and paper system?
Well, I think you're right that some people have great experiences, some people have not so great experiences. And what we're trying to look at as a government, we've launched basically a call for evidence to see what the current landscape looks like when it comes to voting. So we want to see where best practice is being enacted, and you have returning officers doing a great job at helping those who need assistance being able to vote. But some people aren't getting that training and don't know how to implement the legislation effectively. We've got the tactile voting device, which is in legislation that, you know, all polling stations must have one. But in the modern age, is that tactile voting device, you know, the best way going forwards? Could we, you know, look at new ways in which we can ensure that the technology will allow people to vote and vote in secret without that assistance, you know, which is, I think, you know, holding people back from having that ability to be able to vote in secret and independently?
Now, we've spoken with organisations in the United States, and there are several areas there where electronic voting is used at polling stations, but that technology is accessible for someone who is blind or partially sighted, with audio feedback, etc., allowing them to do this. There is even an online accessible way that they can cast a postal vote. They've been doing this for a little while now. Is that something which can improve our system? Do we need dragged into the 21st century?
I am slightly cautious about when we go make that leap straight to online voting. Principally because, you know, when we look at what's happened in other countries around the security of elections, that can really affect people's confidence in our democracy and understanding that we have a fair and balanced process, that sort of no one is abusing that system. And I don't think that we're in a space by which we'd be looking at introducing online voting or experimenting with that. Above all, I want to make sure people have confidence that they feel that their electoral system, you know, has that security, which we have with the pen or pencil and paper method. But that's not to say that, you know, when we have the existing process, we can make that better. We can ensure that, you know, systems are put in place to ensure that people who need the extra help are given that extra help. And importantly, when it comes to the technologies of actually being introduced to ensure people can cast their vote correctly and be given the information, whether that's through sort of audio means or whether that's through, you know, a better use of technology in the voting booth. Those are areas where we want to consider as part of our call for evidence.
I suppose some people may or may not have thought about the whole security implication there. We do, as you say, hear about breaches of security, and I suppose something as crucial as someone casting a vote in an election is something which really needs robust measures and time taken to do so. But can we do better in the meantime?
Well, I think at the moment we have this tactile voting device that has been implemented in legislation now, I think, for over 10 years. I think it's time to review all available means by which we can ensure that people, when they enter the voting booth, if they have, whether it's learning disability, whether they're blind, or whether they're partially sighted, we want to look at the experience of those people who are voting and to get the feedback as through our call for evidence to be able to make changes where we feel most appropriate. I think that the current situation of people voting, there are huge variations across the country. How can we make sure that we limit those variations? We can produce new guidance. We can look at how, going forwards, those new technologies might be able to be adopted. One example is that when people talk about assistance for those who are blind or partially sighted, often the common assumption is to sort of jump straight towards looking at Braille. But we know now in the modern age that I think it's only about 26% of blind and partially sighted people actually use Braille. So it's whether there could be sort of greater use of technology. Well, we've got apps, we have computer-assisted mechanisms and, as you say, audio technologies, which I think as a government we should be exploring for the future.
Even, receiving your polling card, finding your polling station and getting there, some people have some issues with that. They probably rely on perhaps using a proxy or voting by mail. Are we going to be looking at this research you're talking about at the entire system, not just that point where we're at the polling station?
Absolutely. So what I want to do is to ensure that we sort of look at this in the whole, as a journey. So right from the moment where someone wants to register, because obviously in this country you need to register to vote in order to be able to vote in the first place. So looking at the registration process, and we've already made some changes on this recently. So many people listening might have applied or have a certificate of visual impairment, which previously has only been used within sort of health structures in the NHS. What I've managed to do for the first time is ensure that information of someone who's received a certificate of visual impairment will be able, with their permission, to be passed on to registration officers. So people, when they apply to vote, might need larger print, they might need audio technology, they may need versions of the registration documents in Braille. And actually, by allowing the registration officers to have the certificate of visual impairment information earlier, they can prepare what is needed for that person when it comes to the registration documents. And I'm hoping this is just a beginning of a journey by which then we can look at registration, and then if someone has a postal vote, we can look at how, when the postal votes are set out, do they need to be sort of in larger print, or do we have to make sort of better assurances for them when it comes to actually that document being sent to someone in the post so they can be able to read it or interpret it effectively, right then through to obviously getting to the polling station, because some people want to vote in person. I think it's really important that no one is denied having that equal opportunity that everyone else gets to go down to their polling station. So even if they don't want to, some people will want to vote by post, some people want to go down in person. When they do, there are about 8,000 polling stations across the country. Some of those are set up in temporary locations with obviously temporary staff operating them. How can we make sure that everyone gets the same treatment regardless of where they live, so that when they turn up at their polling station, they're not denied access or they don't find it difficult to navigate the room or whatever has been set up to make sure they can vote properly?
So you're announcing this call for evidence that people can get involved with. What will they be asked to do?
So the call for evidence is running until the 14th of November at 5 p.m. Principally, the government wants to find out, to enhance our understanding of the experiences of disabled people, of blind, partially sighted people in registering to vote and casting their vote. We want to identify, if the current mechanisms to support disabled people currently exist are sufficient, and if they're not, what alternatives could there be? And finally, to identify what's actually working well now. And the intention of this call for evidence is then to inform, we will be working with our sort of partner organisations. We have something called the Accessibility to Elections Working Group, which includes RNIB along with MenCap, Mind, Scope, United Response. And so we want to come up with a package of proposals so that by the time we get to the next parliamentary election, the next scheduled parliamentary election in 2022, we have the most accessible elections ever. And so I wanted to take forward a package of proposals on the back of this consultation, which I hope people will respond to. And in terms of responding, there are several means by which you can do so. You can either email elections@cabinetoffice.gov.uk. You can send hard copy in the post to the Electoral Administration Team, Cabinet Office, Fourth floor, Orange Zone. 1, Horse Guards Road, London, SW1A, 2HQ. And most importantly, if there is any other formats that people wish to respond to the consultation, there's information on the government website. But please do phone the telephone number 0207 276 1379. That's 0207 276 1379 to respond or to receive whatever material is most appropriate for you to be able to do so.
And when this call for evidence closes then and the results are looked at, what would be the next stage? Because I imagine it's quite a complex system of legislation and so on that has to be brought up to make any changes.
That's right. When you look at even some of the things like the tactile voting device, that is actually set out in primary legislation. So I'd be hoping that when it comes to making our elections more accessible, we can establish, you know, a cross-party agreement here that we can take forward some measures. For me, you know, next year will be the 100th anniversary of women getting a right to vote and the 90th anniversary of the equal franchise. But in the 21st century, there are still people who want to vote who can't. And that shouldn't happen. You know, by virtue of their circumstances, there are people who find themselves, you know, wanting to cast their vote in person and being unable to do so. And we know that from the reports published by the RNIB, that 1 in 5 people find it difficult to vote. And I believe that, you know, it's a duty as a government to take forward measures to ensure that, yes, we've got legislation, you know, ever since, you know, Disability Discrimination Act, 20 plus years ago. We know the implementation is done better, and where new legislation is needed, that we can try and take that forward with cross-party support.
Certainly, we are looking forward to following the progress of this. But in the meantime, Chris Skidmore, MP, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.